So the first reading is from Micah, and that is chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you are one of the little clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise them up against them, seven shepherds and eight installed as rulers. And the second reading for today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45 and 46 to 55, and it's all about Mary. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Thank you so much, Sarah. I hope you'll excuse me, I'm going to turn this the other way around in a minute, because one of the things, I don't know about you, but time can bring a number of different things to our minds, can't it? Either we're used to looking at clocks and living our lives by them in a way that we're counting the seconds by, or it seems sometimes to go really slow, doesn't it, time, when you're watching the clock a lot and waiting for something to happen, that it just seems to be taking ages to happen. And actually, I think what we need to remember is that God is Lord over all time, and that actually, when we think and pay attention to the minutes and the seconds, in fact, God doesn't necessarily work in that way, does he? You know, this is going to be important to make sure that we meet up with people in time, that we don't go on too long with our worship, you know, where we could go on for ages. But actually, but at the same time, the reason for that, when I just come back to that for a second, going on too long worship, what I'm talking about is honouring people in that. Not the fact that it's worship, you know, we obviously will be worshipping God infinitely, but we need to honour people in recognising that people have other things that they're going to be needing to do as well. So, you know, we don't want to take, you know, all of everybody's day, if that makes sense. But so just for now, if you excuse me, I'm going to turn it this way so as we can remember the gift. And also remember the fact that God is Lord over all of time. Take a look at the Christmas tree. That started out in a better way than it looks at the moment, doesn't it? I mean, I came and felt it over, and it was feeling a little bit dry, probably because it hasn't been watered. And that's my fault as much as anyone else's. But the thing is that because it hasn't been watered, it hasn't been sort of taking in the water to keep it going for a bit longer. And I don't know, when it comes to Christmas, does sometimes it feel like you're getting a bit dry, that actually you start off feeling really green, really, really sort of alive, looking forward to it, and then by the time you get to maybe now, you're thinking, oh, I've got this to do and that to do, and you begin to feel just that little bit parched. We've got to remember that actually God feeds us in all that. So it's so important to stay rooted in him. And if this had been rooted in that, in water, like Jesus said, I am the living water, didn't he? You know, if we stay rooted in him, if we stay drinking from his word, for listening to what he's got to say to us, it will help us, it will nourish us and help us grow. So as we do that, let's just pray that God would open out his word to us. Lord, we thank you so much for the Bible, which helps us to understand what you have to say to us. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us what you have to say to us this morning. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So two different readings, one from the New Testament, one from the Old Testament. I remember somebody said to me once that the New Testament is like in black and white unless you've got put it in context with the Old Testament. And the more I've reflected on God's word and continue to, the more I think that's true, the more we really get a great understanding of what God says to us through the New Testament. You know, the whole event of Jesus' life and the establishment of the church and the letters to the church and all those sorts of things from understanding what came before. And the Micah reading is an example of that. And earlier this week, I went to Dedworth Green for school, and I enjoyed the opportunity to lead a Christingle assembly. The children all prepared oranges with red tape around the mid-centre and fruits in cocktail sticks on a white candle in the middle. The nursery kids, who weren't quite ready for the fire, had cardboard Christingles with a shiny cut-out candle that they could see their faces with, and stickers in the middle of, you've guessed it, Father Christmas and snowmen. As we prepared to light the candles, I borrowed a boy's orange to explain the strange satellite-shaped creation. And as I twisted it around to remind them of the lighter candle needing to point directly up, because some of them were pointing in all sorts of precarious positions, one of the raisins from a boy's Christingle dropped off of the stick onto the floor. I was actually thinking I was quite relieved in some ways, because it was hard from having been out in the air all night. But the thing was, and really, deep down, I was stunned at what was going to happen. I looked across because I was aware of the potential problems that could ensue, and I quickly looked at the boy who had his mouth open. I quickly got in with an encouragement saying, "Don't worry, I'll replace the sweet later on as soon as we finished." And I'm pleased to say that all was okay. But I wonder what my assurance was worth to the boy. He'd probably only seen me a few times before in assemblies, and my promises had no track record for him and probably weren't worth that much. That said, as soon as the flames were safely out and assembly was finished, I took the opportunity to go and check with the member staff that they had sweets to give him, which I'm pleased to say they had more than one. They had a whole bag of them, so the kids obviously went home with a few more. Mary was visited by the angel, and she was well aware of all that had been spoken about her son. Could she have understood the significance of what was to be? Her words, Mary's song, give us some indication. Surely from now all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary appreciated how blessed she was by God. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made of our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary spoke of the past, the present, and the future. She recognized God's provision and his mercy, both in the moment, now, and the future. Appreciating how God had done countless things for her, She knew others in the future would recognize how blessed she was. Doesn't that show an amazing awareness that itself must have brought peace? Do you, this Christmas, know that peace in your heart? As a poor woman living of her time, living from day to day, we might be surprised that Mary didn't focus more on the immediate problems in her life, her pregnancy, her needs, looking more to the here and now. But she had hope for a future. Mary was hopeful. There was a bigger promise that was the source of her hope. Unlike my track record with the boy and his suite, Mary knew and held firm to God's promises, knowing that they would be upheld. Of course, the long term is something that we tend to be a little bit more cautious about. While we clearly don't live just for today, we all know that today has enough worries of its own. Perhaps worrying about things might or that might not happen could seem a bit of a waste of time. Mary, however, trusted God. She knew that she had no need to fear. Maybe her words helped to reassure her. In our Old Testament reading, Micah heralded good news in the midst of the arrival of Nebuchadnezzar's armies. They'd attack in 587 BC, and this would end in the defeat of King Zedekiah. In the midst of despair, God reminded his people that there was a bigger promise of hope. We're told of how a ruler would be raised up in the fairly insignificant town of Bethlehem. This was the home of Boaz, Jesse, and of course David, which was why we sing in While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, to you in David's town this day is born of David's line. Anyone else know the rest? The Saviour who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign. The promise was that an even greater ruler than David was to come. David, who'd conquered Jerusalem, made it a religious center for his people, defeated the Philistines, and united all the tribes of Israel under himself. Even David would be outshone by this new ruler. It had been prophesied by God through Nathan in the time of Samuel. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will rise up your offspring after you, who will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Amazing words. Amazing words. See what I say about the New Testament being put in color? This was before Jesus was born. Of course, those living at this time wouldn't see the promised king establish his kingdom. We know, however, that this king's kingdom wouldn't be of the world. The promised Saviour, Jesus, would be the king of the kingdom of God. I wonder how much on what you do is focused on the immediate. For me, I reckon quite a bit. So much of our lives is focused on the here and now, preparing for Christmas, cleaning the house, getting ready for what's needed tomorrow, meeting up with people, and preparations for that and the aftermath, especially if you've got children visiting or living with you. Of course, if we don't just live for today, though. Some things we prepare for in the midterm, such as holidays and saving to buy something, maybe a car, or an investment perhaps for a child. Maybe because we've got a special event or something, or a grandchild that many of us at least hope in the future might go to university or buy their first car or even house. Of course, for many of us, some of those things might seem in the long distant future and maybe not even a possibility. I'm amazed that when I look at Charlotte and Harriet, my children, who arrived here at the ages of 8 and 9, how much they have changed. They're now of secondary school age. Charlotte's become a teenager, and I realise that there are only 4 years until she's an adult. It's scary how time flies. Of course, I haven't forgotten Alice. How could I? But she's grown too, both in height and in character. There are things I'd hoped that I'd put in place by now, things that I'd intended to do to prepare for the future, but many of these things go by the wayside in the pressures of the here and now. An example of this would be to write a will. But 20 years after being advised to do so, I still haven't got round to doing it. For some, especially those living with limiting medical conditions, there's more of a deliberate effort to get the most out of the right now as we contend with what tomorrow brings. The thing is that while Micah prophesied about Jesus hundreds of years before he was born, the people would have always lived in the hope of what would come in the face of the challenges that they contended with. Tomorrow gave them strength to deal with today. The time between then and the end of 2024 is huge, and a lot of water has passed under the bridge. God's people were exiled, ruled over by different empires. The Savior Jesus was born, lived amongst us for 30-odd years, and did amazing miracles, raised the hackles of the authorities, and then died on the cross, charged with crimes that he didn't do. People wouldn't really know exactly what kingdom he'd be the king of, but Jesus would keep talking about how the kingdom of God would come through him. The people still largely believed and hoped he was talking about getting rid of the Romans. Things, however, significantly shifted when, after dying, Jesus had been raised to life. In Jesus' ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and subsequent growth of the church, we see how God would bring his kingdom close through his people. The church was born. And do you know what is interesting? Is that in all of these things, what God does isn't just focus on the present. We see that, don't we, when Jesus' disciples talk about the fact that people don't have food. These people, you've got loads of people here, we can't feed them. Don't you believe? It must have been so frustrating to Jesus. Haven't you seen already these miracles I've done? Don't you know God will provide for you? Yes, the present is important. Most important, because we make a choice of what to do in faith with God. But God has our pasts and he has our futures. And so let's get our minds back to Bethlehem for a moment, the place in which Jesus was born. Bethlehem was small and humble, while the arrival of the Magi, in contrast, symbolized how Jesus would be king, not only for those of Jewish lineage, but for us all. The worldwide church has grown, showing us again that there is a bigger promise of God's hope for God's people. And fast forward to today, and we're still waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. We know that God's kingdom will come in its entirety when Jesus returns. And we know that Jesus calls us all to be ready for that day, which will come like a thief in the night. Mary had some time to prepare as she reflected on the words of the angel and God's promises, not only during her pregnancy, though her whole life. The Magi had some time to prepare as they made the long journey from the east to find Jesus. And so, this Advent, lets us prepare too, as we make the long journey of life together to meet with Jesus as well. And as we prepare for Christmas, with its food, gifts, and Christmas carols, may we not forget also to prepare spiritually. Let's ready ourselves for the time when, like the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and the wise men, we will meet with Jesus face to face. We can trust that it will happen, and so let's be prepared. How? Well, let's spend time with God. Let's listen to and speak with him. Let's read God's word and grow in faith as we help others know about Jesus too. And let's set some time aside in what I expect for many will be a really busy week to prepare our hearts and minds as we see the Lord's promises revealed afresh in and through us. And let's remember that we have God's Spirit with us at all times, who will be our guide in preparing us for that day that we will meet Jesus face to face. Elizabeth, John's expectant mum, said, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." May we who believe that there will be a fulfillment to what the Lord has promised know that promise now, that we are blessed in and through Jesus. Amen.